It's so good to have you with us today for Bible study time. We're delighted you've joined us. It's always a thrill to sit down with listeners, even in this fashion, and consider together the good word of our great God. Our subject today is Christ's teaching on the future. Spoke a great deal about that, didn't he? And as we're living now in what we believe are the final days of the age of grace, we believe that the future is very bright. Our Lord is coming, and soon believers are going to leave earth for glory. Hope you're going to go. Hope you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If not, and you feel you could help us, we could help you rather, please write and ask us. Now, Boyd Nicholson is our speaker. This is a message he gave on our program 1966, and it's now on our cassette 205. So we pray you are going to be blessed through today's meditation. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Arnett. We ask God's blessing in our program today. God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy long-suffering grace and mercy. But we know that there will come an end to the offer of Thy mercy, and men will face the judgment. We pray earnestly that men and women will heed Thy warning voice and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, who in Thy love Thou didst give to the world that we might be saved. Bless Thy word, we pray, and speak to hearts in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's natural for man to plan for the future. A man who makes no provision is considered unwise and irresponsible. There are savings plans, retirement plans, insurance plans, annuities, long-term investments and pension plans. By all these devices and more, man seeks to cover every future possibility. However, there's one area that man seems to be reluctant to consider, and that is his eternal destiny. All his plans are to provide security for his body and his material things. But in it all, there's no provision for his eternal soul. Does it not seem unwise in the extreme to invest so much thought, time, and money into plans for this brief life only and have absolutely no security in his eternal existence? There's a question in God's holy word in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 31. What wilt thou do in the end thereof? As much as we would like to push this thought of an end out of our minds, we must consider it, for there are certain unavoidable facts we must face. The first is, there is an end to this life as we know it. We read in the Bible at Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Somewhere today, where this broadcast is being heard, a man with great plans for the future will suddenly discover that he has no more future left on earth in which to implement his plans. When the God of the whole earth says, come out and meet me now, there's not a team of medical experts on the earth that will hold him here. Dear listener, contemplate that for a moment, will you? If this should be you, you will draw your last breath, and the heart that has served you these many years will flutter to a stop. Weeping friends around you will fade from your vision, and the sound of their voices will recede forever. The companions of your pleasure will be left far behind, and you will step into the cold waters of the river of death, stripped of all your earthly treasures, your worldly stuff and things and toys of dust. And the question hangs in the air, what wilt thou do in the end of life thereof? Secondly, there's an end of sinning against God. Multitudes have lived in sin, and for the pleasures of sin they've blasphemed the name of God with their lips and by their lives. They've caused grief and sorrow to others by their sinful deeds. They have laughed at the word of God and mocked at the servants of God and rejected the gospel of God. But the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We read that in James 1 verse 15. If you are that person, there will come a time when you will be finished with sin, and sin will be finished with you, and nothing remains but to reap the sad and bitter consequences of your rebellion against a holy God and against His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Still the question remains, what wilt thou do in the end of sinning thereof? There's an end of pleasure apart from God. Yes, there is pleasure in sin. The devil makes sure of that. The Bible points out, however, what everyone at last must find out for themselves, that the pleasures of sin are for a season. So soon they pass away and leave only the bitterness of remorse, the consciousness of defilement, and the loneliness of despair. What will you do when those pleasures for which you are living today have passed away, or when you have lost the ability to engage in those prurient pastimes? Again we must ask, what wilt thou do in the end of pleasure thereof? There's an end of man's religions. Mankind has sought to escape all these realities by many routes. One of these is religion. Man's religion is a counterfeit for Christ and his finished work at Calvary. Religion is man's effort to impress God and to improve himself. Man's religion systems all have the same cry, no matter what they're called. They all cry out, pay more money, pray more prayers, perform more duties, perfect more behavior. And if you pay more, pray more, perform more, and improve more, then God will be pleased with you and take you into his holy heaven at the last. That's the language of all of man's religions in some form or another. Yet it is a fact that nowhere in the Bible do we ever read that all religious people will go to heaven. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself warned the most religious people of the day, the Pharisees, that if they died as they were, where he is, in heaven, there they would never come. The Bible declares, in fact, that every knee will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And that's read in Philippians chapter 2. Dear man or woman, bound to your own religion, remember, be it ever so magnificent in its structures, be it ever so ancient in its rituals, no religion can save you. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ who saves, and he saves those who come to him by faith. All man's religions will pass away, and I must ask you, what wilt thou do in the end of religion thereof? There will be an end of opportunity to come God's way. He has declared that there is only one way into his holy presence as a forgiven sinner, and that is by faith in his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who died on Calvary and offered up to God the only acceptable sacrifice for sin, the only finished work that God accepts. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God has provided countless opportunities for man to repent and to turn from all his idols. Today he calls again in the language of Scripture, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. If you refuse his tender entreaties, if you reject his beloved Son, one day he will call for the very last time. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Your opportunities to repent will be ended. And what wilt thou do in the end of opportunity thereof? This ultimate end is likened in the Bible to a harvest to be reaped. We read in Galatians 6, verse 7, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Reap what? He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Reap what? They have sown to the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. Oh, dear listener, what wilt thou do in the end of the harvest thereof? The Bible asks, when the harvest is past and the summer is ended and you are not saved, what will you do in the end thereof? This sad end is also likened in the Bible to the termination of a journey. We read in Proverbs 14 and 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This sad terminus is not only an exit from this life, it is also the entrance to eternity, where you will dwell in conscious existence, either in the presence of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or shut out forever in the blackness of darkness. I ask you, what wilt thou do in the end of the journey thereof? The end is spoken of as a judgment to be experienced. We read in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it begin at the house of God, what shall the end be of them that know not God? Murderers, rapists, criminals walk the streets of our cities in freedom, having escaped the retribution of the law by some legal technicality or plea bargaining. O sinner, be not duped by the devil. God is not mocked. The Supreme Court of the universe is not yet in session. The judge is at the door. The executioner stands by. The victims will witness against you, and the books will be opened. And you will take your stand before the bar of God, and the judge of the whole earth will pass the sentence. There will be no defense attorney pleading for you there, for you are already condemned guilty. There will be no plea to bargain there. And you will reap the bitter results of your wicked deeds. And the Bible says of that great day, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I ask you with trembling heart, what wilt thou do in the judgment thereof?" So with a sense of relief to my spirit, I would point to another end. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus, died alone on the cross at Calvary. Under the burden of the world's sin, he died for sin, that dread disease that I have. He died for sins, those awful deeds I have done. He died for sinners, that awful self that I am by nature. And when he died, he cried, "It is finished." The glorious end to his mighty work, when he paid the price in full, that guilty man might be forgiven. Nothing can be added, nothing need be added to his work. He rose up from the dead, and now, as a living Savior, he wants to put an end to your sin and its consequences and give you a new beginning that will never have an end. Eternal life, the gift of God. To all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, let me bring this message to an end by giving you the promise of God himself, as we find it in John's Gospel 5 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." When the harvest is past, and the summer is gone, and the sermons and prayers will be o'er, when the beams cease to break, and the blessed Lord's day morn, and Jesus invites you no more, say, O sinner that liveth at rest and secure, who feareth no trouble to come, can thy spirit the swellings of sorrow endure, or bear the impenitent's doom? When the harvest is past and the summer is o'er, with the wheat or the tares, when the judgment appears, oh, what shall it be evermore? What shalt thou do in the end thereof? Oh God, these are solemn things we've been thinking about today. We pray that many will consider their end and be wise, that many will turn to thee in repentance and faith in Christ and be saved from a sad and bitter end. These things we ask for the glory of Christ Jesus, in his precious name. Amen.